Hello, I'm glad to be here. So today I'm going to talk about software diversity, security, entropy, and game theory. It's a very broad topic. So our attempt in here is to make some of these notions precise in computer science. This work is jointly done with Anil Somayaji, who's there, and Michael LoCastro from University of Calgary. So don't put all your eggs in one basket is a popular wisdom among known to a lot of people, even in security community, but it isn't very clear how many baskets you need or how would you go about distributing eggs in your baskets. So if you wish to go with this analogy, it's in computer security, both of these notions are not clearly defined. Well, if you don't like this, then there are several security researchers who've published opinion papers and even in peer-reviewed journals who've wanted more diversity in software for security. But it isn't very clear how to do this. So our aim in this presentation is to hopefully show some insight into quantifying some of these notions. Today's outline, we'll first show a model of a software ecosystem. It's a very simplified model. We'll list all the assumptions we'll make, and we'll be very generous in making assumptions. And then we'll define diversity measures borrowed heavily from ecological literature because they've studied for a very long time. And then we look at anti-coordination, basically applying game theory to some of the strategies we employ in this versus humans game that we continually play. And then while we were discussing, when we were come up with some game formulations, we found it rather hard to establish utility measures for various agents in the game. So that's when we stumbled upon a simple idea where where we can modify, make a slight change to the popular security war game called Capture the Flag. And this modification, if played out in the real world, will enable us to capture some very interesting data that can apply to these games and more. I'm sorry? No one said anything. Okay. So our model in terms of sets is actually very simple. We have a bunch of hosts, a set of hosts, H. We have N hosts and we have M vulnerabilities. These things are like fixed. And if a host has a vulnerability, then we will show a graph version of this model later. But if a host has a vulnerability, then there's an edge between the two. And this is represented as a bipartite graph with K, N edges and M vulnerabilities. K and edges distributed over M vulnerabilities. This distribution is very crucial to our analysis. It's not obvious how this distribution changes as user strategy changes. We don't care about software, which is just to say that as far as we are concerned, as far as security is concerned, software is just a bag of vulnerabilities. So, nothing more. So when you choose to install software, you are getting vulnerabilities by default. So we just eliminate the entire layer of having to model software and see which is good, which is bad, and so on. So we just say a host chooses software. Software is just a strategy, a subset of vulnerabilities. So this graph is illustrates that concept. In this, you'll see two columns of vertices. On the left, you have a bunch of hosts. Each host has three edges coming out of it. That means each host has to choose three vulnerabilities. And they're all equal. So there are like if there are n hosts, then there are three n edges here. But on the right side, there are vulnerabilities, but the distribution of vulnerabilities among those, distribution of edges among vulnerabilities is highly non-uniform, or it can be highly non-uniform. So how this distribution changes as hosts change their strategies is what we want to study in this paper. Okay, an edge between a host and a vulnerability indicates that host has that vulnerability, or it has a software that includes that vulnerability. So implicit in all of these is a list of assumptions that we make. We make all the assumptions that we want because this is a preliminary analysis on quantifying some of the notions on diversity. So we are fairly generous in making them. First assumption we make is that asset value is uniform. What this means is all hosts are equally valuable and all hosts are equally vulnerable to attacks. So this rules out targeted attacks and stuff happening in Iran and so on. So we're just talking about broad spectrum hosts. So this also means that each host has the same number of vulnerabilities. So this follows from if you want to get a software up and running on a host, then you need to have a certain amount of software, and software inherently has a huge number of vulnerabilities, K in this case. The second assumption we make is that residual vulnerabilities don't change with time. That means if a vulnerability gets attacked and you apply a patch to it and distribute the patch among all the computers that have that vulnerability, nothing changed in our model. You're the same. So this is a steady state assumption. And this third is the vulnerability criticality. That means we assume that a host is either compromised or not compromised. So there are exploits that probably steal some of your private data or do less damage or more damage, but it isn't clear how to sort of quantify that notion. So in our first attempt, we just say it's either compromised or it's not compromised. Okay, so that was our model. Now we'll start with diversity measures. So diversity has two components to it. First, how many varieties are needed and how are they distributed? These are two separate components. So if we started, entropy is an obvious choice for diversity, but then Shannon entropy, which is the most popular form using information theory, implicitly assumes certain ratio of these two things. So we wanted to generalize a little bit more. So if you pick an edge at random from the graph that you saw previously, what is the probability that that edge comes from some vi? That is degree of vi by nk. Nk is the total number of edges. So then the diversity number, this is defined in ecology and we borrow heavily from there, is defined as that value, while the generalization of Shannon entropy is called Renyi entropy, is just the logarithm of the diversity number. So we're just defining a measure here. And Shannon entropy is a special case of that. If you take the limit of that expression when a goes to 1, you get your minus pi log pi summed over. We actually proceeded to try to calculate diversity for real-world systems. This is just an illustration. It's not a representation of what actually is out there, but this shows you that you can actually do this. So what we did is we went to the internet, we got some market share values and vulnerabilities for 2011, and we used those to calculate diversity values. So we just used operating systems and browsers because there are a host of softwares and several vulnerabilities are in common, they're not common. It's fairly messy out there. So we took a simplified view of this and got only OS-specific and only browser-specific vulnerabilities. And this is a plot of the real-world data for 2011. The yellow line that you see is ideal. If you assume that all operating systems have equal market share, then you get that yellow line. This is diversity number NA versus A. A is just the parameter that changes the relative importance given to the sample size versus the distribution. A equal to 1 corresponds, at the horizontal line, A equal to 1, it corresponds to Shannon entropy. And what colors are they? Okay, the red and the green lines. The red line is the diversity measure based only on market share, while the green line also takes into account number of vulnerabilities. So this is one graph. Next, we proceed to anti-coordination games. Now, you must be thinking, why do I care about diversity measures at all? Because first, before we proceed into analyzing diversity, we need to know if you're doing good or doing bad. So this measure helps us, this measure on top, NA equal to that, that helps us to identify if our diversity in the ecosystem is increasing or decreasing. Inherently, we're playing several games in software security, and it isn't clear if the games that we play or the outcomes of those tend to increase diversity or decrease diversity. So, for example, let's look at a simple game, an anti-coordination game. To the left, you'll see a couple of hosts, H1 and H2, connected to V2. V2 is a vulnerability. Suppose that vulnerability gets compromised. The hosts have two choices. They'd rather have different software running on the system, so both of them want, for example, H1 might want to do V1 alone, and H2 might want to do V2. If they share vulnerabilities, then well, the payoff is lower, because if all of them are running the same thing, then it's quite likely that it'll be compromised. So the counter utility to it is a moving cost. If you're running some software, it takes some amount of effort to remove that and put a new one. So this captures that balance. To the right, you'll see a payoff matrix. Now, this interestingly has two pure strategy Nash equilibria where one host switches, but there's also a mixed strategy Nash equilibria, and the statistical interpretation of that in a large number of cases, there will be hosts that don't switch. There will be hosts that continue to use the same software despite being weaker or being compromised. This game generalizes to N players and M strategies. In 2002, there was a paper on this in game theory literature. The question we want to when we were analyzing this, we didn't quite know how vulnerability risk grows as the number of players who choose a given software with N other players. So it wasn't clear what this risk profit payoff multiplier would be. In the previous case, we just assumed it's some number, and then we could calculate because it's just a two-player, two-strategy game. In the case, we just assumed it's some pi of N, and if C0 turns out to be the unit cost of a vulnerability and CW is the cost of switching, then at the equilibrium condition, you get that equation on the fourth bullet point. But then we were stumped at this point. We didn't know how to proceed. We don't know how do you assume what utilities people might have or what their perceived risk is. So at this point, NS is the number of M minus 1 times NS is the number of players who make a switch to a vulnerability that is not compromised. So at this point, we thought, okay, let's simply modify a capture the flag to have to add option, to add choice in the game. So capture the flag has several teams. Just probably most of you are aware of this, but it has several teams, and each team has a virtual machine. It's identical. And each virtual machine has a bunch of buggy services. You're supposed to defend your virtual machine. You're supposed to attack other's virtual machine. And you have to keep all the services running. Remember, you have to keep all the services running. Usually, there are about 10 or 15 services given to you. You might get a mail server, a web server, a DNS, whatever. In capture the diversity, you want to simulate options. So all you do is you give them two mail servers, two web servers, two whatever, blah, 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 two of everything. And all you need to do is keep one out of the two running. So if this game is actually played out in the real world, lots of interesting data can be collected. So you'll know which software will team select, winning teams, losing teams, what is the most popular, what is the least popular, is it the one that is attacked often or the one that can be fixed easily, and so on. Or you'll also know what the host vulnerability graph will look like, and you know how entropy changes with time, and so on. So this will enable us to calculate this pi, because we don't know what pi people want. That about sums up. To conclude, if there's anything that you should probably remember, it's that diversity is made up of two separate components, and it isn't clear how to combine those two. So entropy measures the trade-off in uncertainty in each of those components. Game theory tries to analyze the trade-off in strategies, and capture the diversity empirically determines the trade-off in user preferences. It's revealing the user preferences. That's it. Thank you.